Would you turn to the book of, or the Gospel of John, chapter 3? And as you're turning there, I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed all of our youth and our chaperones to make it back home safe and sound. So thank the Lord for that. And we're going to be hearing from them next Sunday night, because I think they'll have a couple of videos, and we're going to think it's going to be back to school and having prayer claws, and it's going to be a great service. And again, I hope you can invite your family and friends to be a part of that. And I like really what Morgan had to say tonight, to give a spiritual covering over them. That was a great way to say that, because there are a lot of crazy things that are going on. And the Lord has been very good to us in this community. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of John, chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Look at verse 6. "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Father, I thank you for your word, for it is a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path. And I pray, God, that you would just do that tonight, illuminate our minds and our hearts through your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. In effect, Nicodemus was saying, "I see the kingdom of God at work in you, and I like what I see, and I've come to this conclusion that no man can do these signs that you do except God be with him." And Jesus, knowing what he knew, immediately went to where Nicodemus wanted to go, and he told him, he said, "Nicodemus, listen, you can't get into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. If you want to do what I'm doing, and if you want to have what I am doing, then you got to get what I've got. Because you can't do this in flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh." Can I just preach for a few minutes? I'm going to be mindful of your time tonight. But listen, flesh can never do for you what the Spirit can. And that's why we need a move of the Spirit when we come to the house of God, because you may not be facing something, but your neighbor may be. And if you will do for your neighbor, then a time is going to come when you need something and your neighbor will do it for you. And that's why we're a family, and that's why we're a body. And we can't allow ourselves to be selfish just because I don't need something. Somebody needs something in this house, and you need God to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Can I get a witness? And so Jesus responded to Nicodemus and just simply told him, "Here's how, Nicodemus, you enter the kingdom. You must be born again." And in fact, he said, if you're not born again of the water and of the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom. Now, I want you, if you will, to go to the book of John again, but go to chapter 10. And now this time, look at verse 9. And this is what it says. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." Brothers and sisters, I don't want to cross your theology, but I want to stay in the Word of God. But here it is. Truth is more than this book. Truth is a person. You said, "Brother Nealon, I don't know about that." Well, then the Bible says, Jesus speaking, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Yeah, there may be 100 different ways to New York City, but there's only one way into the kingdom. And you don't get there through any other way but through Jesus. Because he said, I am the door. I am the door. Hallelujah. See, Jesus is the door. And then that begs the question, if Jesus is the door, then what's he the door to? Because a door is nothing more than a portal that leads to more. So what is Jesus the door to? Jesus is the door into the kingdom. Does that make sense? See, your door to your house does what? It leads to more revelation about your house. Have you ever seen a house on the outside and you thought one thing, but then you got invited to go to the house and you opened the door, and when you saw the layout, you was like, man, I didn't know it looked like this. I could have never told that, tell that it looked like this from the outside. So when you walk into that door, you get revelation about what that house looks like and the layout. When you walk through the door, which is Christ, he leads you into the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Okay, now, how many of you have ever heard of a writer named C.S. Lewis? Okay, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Chronicles of Narnia. And if you haven't read the book, I don't want to steal the thunder because it's an awesome book and they made it into a movie. And it's just a fantastic piece of literature and art. But if you've read the book by C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia, the four main characters are, it's Edmund, it's Lucy, it's Peter, and it's Susan. And they open this door, and this is actually Lucy, I believe, is opening the door to the wardrobe. And when she opens that door to the wardrobe, she enters into a kingdom that she never knew existed. And if you haven't read the book, I don't want to be a spoiler, so I'll keep my comments to a minimum, but here's what happens. Before they stepped through that door of the wardrobe, they were just kids. But when they stepped through that door, they entered into a kingdom that they never even knew existed, and those kids became so much more than kids. When we come to the door, a sinner, there is a transformation when we go through that door. We come to the door, a sinner, but when we walk through that door, a transformation happens. And when we walk through, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the old man is no longer there. Shout, I'm a new creature. See, according to Revelation 1 and 16, this is what he says. He says, Revelation 1 and 16, when you step through this door, he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory. I know it's hard to imagine and it's hard to wrap your mind around it. But when you walk through the door, you don't walk through that door, ladies and gentlemen, and get on the other side the same way you walked in it. Jesus says, now, because you've gone through me, there's been an automatic transfer of my grace and my righteousness and my goodness upon your life. My blood has covered every one of your sins from the moment you were born till right now. Isn't that wonderful? And then here's what Paul says. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. He says this, now we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what he says. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, I don't believe, and this is, again, my own personal belief, but I don't believe for one minute that God saved all of us and sees us now as kings and priests. And Paul says that Christ sees us as ambassadors. I don't believe he did all that for us just to camp out at the door. Okay. I hope I don't offend anyone tonight, but I don't believe that God saved us, brothers and sisters, brought about a great transformation in our life, now sees us as kings and priests, and as Paul says, he sees us as ambassadors, for us now to stay at the door and seeing I fly away for the next 20, 40, 60, or 80 years. I'm not trying to be rude, and I'm not trying and ought to be ugly. I'm trying to bring revelation to all of us. I thank God for the door. I thank God for Jesus. If it wasn't for him, none of us would be here tonight. But he never intended on us just to camp out at the door. When we go through the door, there's something to go to, and it's called the kingdom of God. So that I'm not misconstrued tonight, let me make myself plain. We all love heaven. We all love to sing about heaven. I love the song, I Fly Away, and just over in the glory land. Love singing those hymns with you. We'll continue to sing those. We all want to go to heaven. Probably everybody in this room has a loved one there. Heaven is going to be unfathomable. Paul tells us that eye has not seen, ear is not heard, neither is it recorded in the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for us. But the fact of the matter is, if heaven was his first priority, he would have saved you and then raptured you. Why, when people go to the death's door and they come back, why does everyone say God has something more for you to do? He still has a plan for you, a purpose for you. Why do we say that to people that go to death's door, but we don't believe that for ourselves? What is the more? What is the plan? The plan is for none of us to camp out at the door, but to walk through the door into the kingdom and be ambassadors. Can you hear me tonight? To be ambassadors for Christ. Every morning you wake up. You have purpose. What is my purpose? To be an ambassador. So that God puts you at the right place at the right time to give you a word of encouragement, for you to lay hands on somebody and pray the prayer of faith, maybe for you to give a dollar or two, I don't know. But when you wake up in the morning, you have more than just a job to go to. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Because when we are born again, here's why. We become citizens of heaven. Say, I'm a citizen of heaven. You need a revelation of that. I am a citizen of heaven. Yes, I live upon the earth, but this world is not my home. Where is my home? The kingdom of God is my home. I live in this world, but I'm not of this world. Why? Because I'm a citizen of heaven. Does that make sense? So now just take that from a spiritual sense to a natural sense for just a moment. Think of all the rights and privileges that you have as a natural-born citizen of the United States. You live with all of our dysfunction, with all of our pain and ugliness that's going on in our world. You still live, and we still live, in the greatest nation in the world. And because you are an American, you have certain rights. As an American, you have the right to vote. You have the right to own property. You have the right to be born into poverty and become the president of the United States. There's very few nations that you can do that in, but you can do that in America. Now, I know it don't always work perfect, but you are supposed to be innocent until proven guilty by our court of law. It don't always work perfect, but you are supposed to have the right to not be searched without due process of law. You have certain rights because you are a citizen of the United States. Does that make sense? Now, there are also, ladies and gentlemen, benefits to being a citizen of heaven or the kingdom of God. Some of the benefits from being citizens of the kingdom of God are the health program. Did you know that God has a health program in his country? Do you know what it is? It's by his stripes ye were healed. That's his health program. Did you know that God has an education program in his country? It's called the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll teach you what you need to know. He said, the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. You just stick with me and I'll get you there. That's what I tell Janet. I say, Bubblegum, stick with me and I'll get you somewhere, baby. There is, when you're a citizen of heaven, here's some other things. The taxation. Did you know that God has a taxation system in his kingdom? You know what it is? It's called tithing. But here's the cool thing. The government keeps raising theirs called taxes, but he's never raised his. It's always been 10%. And if you'll do that, he said, I'll bless you coming in and I'll bless you going out. You'll be the head and not the tail when you do it my way. He said, if you obey my taxation system, he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake and I'll bless your crops. Come on, somebody. The central communication system as your kingdom, as you are part of the kingdom of heaven, is this. It's called the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. Now, that's just a few of the benefits of the kingdom. As part of this kingdom, our King has assigned us to a purpose. And our purpose, brothers and sisters, is to make disciples and to be ambassadors of the kingdom. See, we're appointed. Say, I'm appointed. Say, I'm appointed. Who are you appointed by? You're appointed by the King. You're not voted into this position. Nobody got a committee together and said, I wonder if Brother Dwayne's good enough to get in here. Mm-mm, didn't happen. God says, you know what? I'm going to call him because he's mine. The devil didn't even have a vote, didn't even have a choice. Hallelujah. There was no committee that got together and decided, yes, you get in. No, you don't get in. You were called by God to be here tonight, and God has a plan for you, and that plan is that you become an ambassador in the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? See, his priority now for us as ambassadors is to influence the territory for his kingdom government. See, as believers, we live upon the earth, but our citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven. Say, my citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven. And here's the good news. All the resources, all the authority, and all of the power of that kingdom are available to us. Just as we have, as natural citizens of the U.S., just as we have the rights and the resources as citizens of the United States, we have all the resources available to us in the kingdom of God. What is that, Pastor? Well, it starts off with forgiveness of sins, healing for our bodies, power over the works of the devil. We have the power of his word. We have the authority of his name, and we have the blessings of his blood. That's just for starters. With all of that in mind now, can you imagine someone inheriting a palatial mansion that is absolutely beautiful, and yet they stay at the front door? And when you come up to this palatial mansion, 13,000 square feet, I just had a friend of mine that I grew up with. He just built a 12,000 square foot home. Haven't seen it yet, but he wants me to come and see it. And I'm going to. But I can guarantee you this. When my buddy invites me to come see his house, we're not going to camp out at the door. It might be the most beautiful door I've ever seen, but we're not staying there. Because I know there's way more behind the door. Brothers and sisters, please do not be offended at me. But I'm going to tell you something. What we have done is we have camped out at Acts 2:38. And we have stayed there. And I'm thankful for Acts 2:38. And I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven. But there's way more behind the door than Acts 2:38 and I'll fly away. There is a kingdom that's got the gifts of the Spirit, that has healing, that's got a move of God that can transform your life and my life. Have I made sense? Am I making sense? Shout, I'm an ambassador. Say, there's more behind the door. Do I want everybody to go through the door? Yes, because if you don't go through the door, you can't be saved. And if you don't go through the door, you can't get into the kingdom. But I want you to not camp out at the door. I want us to go through the door. Why? Because there's more in the kingdom for every one of us. And we need to understand that behind this door, there's power over the devil. There is healing for our bodies. There is deliverance in our spirit. There is peace for our mind. There is the gifts of the spirit that God wants to use and operate and move among his people. Somebody take 5 seconds and give God your best praise here. Can I keep preaching? Jesus said, I am the door to the sheep. See, you have to understand something. Grab this. If you haven't woke up, wake up right now, please. Ready? Shepherds do not give their sheep grass. This is very important. You don't see a shepherd pull and pluck the grass and then hand it to the sheep. You don't see that. Shepherds don't do that. What do shepherds do? What shepherds do is they lead their sheep to where the sheep can find good pasture. Right? How much nourishment we receive is up to us. There is more when we walk through the door than just being saved. Great, I'm saved, I'm transformed. Now I'm an ambassador. Now what? Now he wants you to enjoy the full benefits of the kingdom of God that is behind the door, but he's not going to violate your will. He's not going to pluck his benefits up and put them in your mouth. He will hand you the grapes, but he's not going to pluck them and put them in your mouth. You have to decide, how much of this kingdom do I want to access? Do I just want to stay here at the door and say, oh, I want to see him and God is still good and I'm a UPC? Yeah. Now I'm being funny and overdramatic, but that's many times what we do. Can I just preach? And we get happy on a Sunday night, and I want us to get happy. But then the devil slaps us all side our nappy head on Monday because we don't understand that we're citizens of a kingdom. And it's more than just singing about Jesus and going to heaven. It's understanding that on the authority of the name of Jesus, I have power over the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I claim my rights as a citizen of heaven. Healing is the children's bread. Does that make sense? But the degree to which we enjoy our benefits of being kingdom citizens depends on our willingness to boldly claim what is rightfully ours. You have to get to the place that you understand who you see yourself. I am a son of God. In my flesh, there dwells no good thing, but I'm not just flesh, I am spirit. And because Christ is in me, I have the very hope of glory. I am a child of God. See, God wants more for us than just salvation. He has a kingdom upon the earth. And as an ambassador, it is our assignment to rule it like he did. This is why Paul says, and again in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, he said, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And I'm hurrying and I thank you for your time. Here it is. One of the number one responsibilities of an ambassador is to support the interest of the homeland. That's one of the number one responsibilities, is to support the interest of the homeland. Jesus was, as the Son of God, an ambassador of heaven on the earth. Y'all believe that? And as a representative of heaven, this is how he represented heaven. Everywhere he went, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He straightened crooked limbs. Everywhere he went, y'all, he had power and authority over fear, death, sickness, disease, and worry. Do y'all believe that? as an ambassador of heaven. He was representing his homeland. And you say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I don't believe it. I understand it's hard to wrap your mind around this. But here's what the scripture says. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And if we have the same spirit, and Paul is calling us ambassadors, then what God is wanting us to do is not just camp out at the door, but show our community what it looks like to be a representative of heaven. And listen, brothers and sisters, can I tell you something? Sister June had shingles. I told y'all that Sunday night, right? And I'm not trying to put her on blast, but I want to tell you the goodness of the Lord. And so it was Sunday night, I believe. Janet looked at me and she said, Wayne, let's go pray for Sister June. I said, no, you go pray for her. I'm just telling you, didn't I, Janet? She asked me to go and I said, no, I'm not going. You go pray for her. She went over there and prayed for Sister June. And they had a little Holy Ghost hoedown. And those shingles started drying up. And they've dried up. Yeah, now she took some medicine, but we ain't giving medicine credit. We're giving Jesus credit because we know that the Lord touched her. Now, again, I'm not patting Sister Janet on the back. And I'm not putting Sister June on blast. I'm just telling you that, you know what? We don't have to have a shakedown and rub down. And we don't have to, you know, do all the Pentecostal calisthenics. If you got it in you, brothers and sisters, all you got to do is take authority in the name of Jesus. You don't have to shake, rattle, and roll. God is going to honor His word. Are you hearing me tonight? I said, God is going to honor His word. You are, shout, I am an ambassador for Christ. So as an ambassador for Christ, what does He want you to do? He wants you to represent the kingdom of heaven every day. That's why when I wake up every morning, I'm saying, Father, lead me today where I need to be. Even where I eat lunch, I don't want it to be by accident. Put me at the right place at the right time. God, give me the right word. Let healing flow through me today. Why? Because I want to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. I don't want to just camp out at the door and sing how great He is and then not His love and His goodness and the benefits flow through me. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm going to end with this story. This is a true story. I'm going to end here. There was this man, and I won't give you his name. He was a speaker, and he was invited to come and speak for a men's retreat. It was 80 men. So he went, and he went up to the host of this meeting, and he said, I want to ask you a question. If God were to do something in a miraculous way tonight, what would you want me to do? And the host said, whatever you do, be done in 30 minutes. And he said, you know, I felt like that God really wanted to do something in that meeting that night. So he said he got up to begin to speak. And he said the Spirit of the Lord nudged him. He said, go to the man on the fourth row to your left. He went to the man on the fourth row to his left. And he says, listen, Holy Spirit has just nudged me tonight that perhaps there's something going on. He said, I just want to introduce myself. And I'm not trying in any way to embarrass you, sir. He said, what's your name? He said, my name is Owen, O-W-E-N. He said, well, Owen, it's nice to meet you. He said, but I just need to tell you, the Holy Spirit tonight nudged me to come and pray for you. And he said, alarm just washed all over Owen's face. And he looked at him and he says, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong. I'm okay. And so the speaker, he apologized. He said, I'm sorry. He came back up to the platform. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him again and said, go back again. He said, he got a chair and went and took it to that fourth row on the left. And he set that chair down and he said, "Sir, I don't know what's going on." He said, "But something is telling me I've got to pray for you tonight." The man started sobbing and started weeping. And he said, "I called my wife today. And I said, after this service, I'm totally quitting ministry. I'm done. I'm through. I'm out." The speaker looked at him and he said, "Do you mind elaborating and telling us a little about it?" He said, "I'll tell you." He said, "I was a businessman and I was extremely successful, very successful as a businessman. And I felt like God called me into ministry. Felt like God called me specifically into a men's ministry." He said, "I launched, my wife and I, we launched into that ministry. And," he said, "nothing went as planned." He said, "financially, nothing went as planned." He said, "In fact, I lost all of my savings." He said, "I lost my retirement." He said, "I've remortgaged my home." And he said, "My credit cards are maxed out and I'm $16,000 in debt." And that speaker looked at him and he says, "Here's one thing I want to know." He said, "Did the Lord tell you to quit?" And a man sobbing thought about it for a minute and he said, "No, God didn't tell me to quit." He said that that room was so quiet you could hear a pin drop until one man stood up and said, "I'm going to tell you something. This ain't right." And he said, "Me and my wife are going to give the first $1,000. And from there, men just started opening up their billfold. And they gave him way more than $16,000 that night. And he didn't get out of ministry. That's the main thing. And God began to restore him. Now, why did I tell you that story? Here's why. Because that speaker could have got up, gave his 30-minute talk. They could have had a fine ministry event and went home. But Owens wouldn't have been a changed man. Are y'all with me? But because there was a man that was willing to be an ambassador for Christ, a man's life was changed that night. Now, here's what I'm trying to get into all of us. God wants more than just a good Sunday night service. And this, brothers and sisters, is why we have got to do more than camp out at the door and say how good Jesus is. We got to understand there's a kingdom behind this door, and it's more than just good preaching, and it's more than just good singing. It's being an ambassador for Jesus Christ so that lives are changed through the work of the Holy Spirit. If you believe that, would you stand to your feet and give God some praise right now? Come on, let's give him praise right now. Have I made sense? See, they tell me that an ambassador lives in most parts of the country in something called an embassy. And I'm told that that embassy represents the authority, the power, and even the military of their particular government. Okay, so here's how it works. When America has an embassy in another place, in a foreign land, if they attack that embassy, it's as though they were attacking the United States. And when you meet an ambassador, you're not just meeting a person, you're meeting an individual that represents an entire government. It's going to be hard for you to wrap your mind around this, but here it is. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, my house is my embassy. Come on. Come on. When I walk into a school, that becomes my embassy. When I walk on my job, that becomes my embassy, because I am an ambassador for Christ. All of heaven's resources, power, and authority go with me. I don't just have it when I'm here. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. When I don't even feel saved, I'm still going to have the power, the resources, and the authority of Jesus Christ. I tell myself every service I'm not going to be long. And I go 45 minutes because I just can't shut up. You say, Pastor, do you have Bible for that? Yes, I do. Here's a quick story. Elisha and his servant. God was telling Elisha the secrets of the Syrian army. The Syrian army and the king find out about it. He said, go get Elisha. They went to go get him, surrounded his whole encampment. The servant came out and saw all of that, and he got very afraid, like most of us would. But Elisha stepped out and said, Lord, open up his eyes. And the Lord opened up his eyes, and he saw angels and chariots all around about him. And that's when he says, Elisha, I want you to know something, son. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. I don't know who I'm preaching to or talking to tonight, but I'm here to tell you, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Go in the power and in the authority of the name of Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, say, I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now turn around, would you? Pray for somebody right now. Ask God to lead them tomorrow when they walk in their job, when they walk in a place of business, when they walk into a restaurant. God, would you lead us? God, would you direct us?